各位菩萨早安，阿弥陀佛。
Good morning, everyone.
好，我们今天继续讲石牛图哈。我们前面已经讲了。讲到第几张图了？还记得吗
？So today we'll continue the series talks of ten ox herding pictures. And first of all, do you still remember where we left last time? Which picture?
总共讲了六张哈、哦。上一次讲到骑牛归家，就是找到牛，骑着牛回家了。
So we have covered six pictures so far. And last time we talked about the six ox herding picture, which is riding the ox home. So the ox herder already found the ox and rode the ox home.
在我们要看把牛带回家之后会发生什么事呢？我们先把前面六张图，我们再跟大家稍微做一下介绍。因为有些菩萨可能前两次没有来，今天第一次来。因为石牛图它是连续的，所以我们今天会再简单的跟大家介绍前面石牛图的六张图。
So before we get into the next picture, what happened after the ox herder riding the ox home?We will do a quick review of the previous six pictures because it is a continuous practice.
石牛图啊，它并不仅仅只是十张图片。它所这十张图片所要表达传达的，除了是一位修行者自己本身在修行过程当中，他所体悟到的自己从修行开始所经过的过程，到开悟之后自己内心的整个体验转变之外，师父在解释的时候呢，是希望能够回到跟我们的日常生活是相应的。因为如果仅仅只是去看一位祖师大德他修行的体验，那是他自己的事情，跟我们是没有关系的。所以师父在解释的时候呢，会是告诉我们方法应该怎么用，那除了自己用方法之外，怎么样子能跟众生，也就是怎么样子自利之外也能够利他，就是跟众生也有关系。
So these ten ox herding pictures are not just pictures. Actually, the set of pictures convey a practitioner, the stages of practitioner's practice, the process and transformation of a great practitioner.And the Shifu also want us to be able to use the ten ox herding pictures to help us, going through daily lives, to be able to use the method well and to help ourselves and in the same time know how to benefit others. Because otherwise, the ten ox herding pictures is just about a great...practitioners enlightenment and stage, it won't be connecting to us. It sounds like irrelevant to us. That's why Shifu hope that we will actually benefit from them, learn how to use method to help ourselves and others.
好，第一张图呢是讲寻牛， 就是一位修行者，他刚刚开始听到有人介绍说修行的这个方法很好，可以让我们明心见性。除了明心见性之外呢，它能够解决我们日常生活当中所需要面对所有的烦恼，就这些境界都能够处理，而且是用一种最没有副作用的方式处理。所谓没有副作用呢，是除了对于自己本身有帮助，能够处理问题之外，也不会去伤害别人。因此他听了之后很有兴趣，也想要开始用这个方法，也想要开始用这个方法。所以这是一开始寻求，也是我们听到有个方法很好，除了能够帮助自己之外，最后他也能够帮助其他人。他产生了很大的兴趣，想用这方法修行。所以这是第一张图，寻求。
So the quick, a quick review of the first picture. The first picture is about looking for the ox. So what it means is that a person heard of a great method, which is that you can use to help yourself to deal with vexations, and eventually will help you to see your self nature. And at the same time, when you use the method to help yourselves, you not only will not harm others, but actually can help others as well. So such person generate great interest in such method and really want to know. So that's the first picture.
第二张图是见机，见到牛的脚迹哈。我们在图上面的一个修行者，他听到我们刚刚讲听到方法嘛，这时候呢，他跟随一个老师，跟随一个老师开始正式的学习方法，学习方法。所以他在经过一段时间用功之后呢，跟在大善智士的旁边听闻经教，听闻经教，也非常认真的开始用老师所教的方法。所以这时候呢，他会升起很大的信心。第一个是相信老师，相信老师所教的方法没有错。再来是相信自己认真修行，认真修行一定能够达到开悟的境界。不过他这个所谓相信能够达到开悟境界呢，是要在建立在自己非常认真的修行，而且他不是那种追求期待，只等在那边等着天上好像自己会掉下东西来，或是我们中国成语所讲的守株待兔的心态，他是要自己很认真的修行，很认真的修行而且他是要经过长时间的修行，他不会去理会自己要付出多少才能够得到相对的多少，他不是把心放这种去类似一种交换的，他只是循着老师所教的方法，那死心塌地的去用功，他是抱持这样的心态。所以第一个是要跟随大善知识听闻经教，发起信心，相信老师所讲的，也相信这个方法能够带给我有所帮助。
So the second picture is about seeing the choices of ox. So the second picture talks about when such practitioner heard such great method, and he give rise great interest and really want to learn, want to know. That's a previous one, previous picture. And then he developed into the second stage, which is he finds a great teacher and started to study with him. And he started to attend Dharma talks and read and learn all sutras and start to apply the method. And for a period of time, and during this process, He has more and more confidence, not only in the teacher, but also in the method that he uses. And he truly believes that if he practices this way, if he practices hard enough, he will be able to see the self nature eventually. But during this process, such practitioner is not anxious or not anticipating a great result along the way. In the contrary, he's not really focused on the result, but he's focusing on the process itself. He put into a lot of efforts without attitude of exchanging for something or anticipating something for return. He just worked hard on the process itself and for a long period of time.
见牛，好，已经看到牛了，不过呢，他只看到牛的尾巴，啊，这是表示什么呢？表示我们刚刚讲，从一开始，听到方法，也找到一位大善知识教导我们，我们如实的用方法，就是如实的跟随老师所教的方法，那我们认真修行，我们得到一些体验的，我们身心得到一些体验，所以这时候呢，是表示我们用功用方法，身心有一些体验，所以已经慢慢的见到牛了。不过我们只是见到牛的尾巴露出来，那这时候呢，我们的心呢，慢慢的从过去散乱的状况。从过去散乱状况，慢慢因为在经过一段时间修行，我们对方法也慢慢能够掌握之后，我们能把我们本来散乱的心慢慢调伏到比较安定的一个状况。不过偶尔我们的心念还是因为会有一些妄想出来，所以可能会被打断掉。那这时候是我们在修行过程当中可能我们都会面临到的，我们等一下会跟大家讲，在面临到这些状况的时候应该怎么办。
A third picture is called Catch a Glimpsing of the Ox. So the third picture is about when the practitioner started from the first picture, the stage of first picture, that he generated great interest, to the second picture, that he already find a good teacher in the method and started to apply the method for a period of time. And then to the third picture, to the stage of what third picture described is that he already experienced certain good experience because of his diligence, because he has been applying the method diligently for a while. So he started to experiencing that his mind transformed from a scattered mind to a more settled mind. But the calm mind can still be interrupted, stopped from time to time, interfered from time to time by wandering thoughts. So at this stage, of course, we're going to talk about how to deal with this type of situations when you practice really well, you have a settled mind, but still affected, interrupted by the wandering thoughts.
到第四张图是得牛，我们在图片当中可以看到这个牧童，也就是修行者，他正是找这头牛，不过这头牛呢，他因为他野性很足，我们刚刚找到这头牛齁，所以他还没办法受我们整个完全的控制齁。这个是在告诉我们什么呢？当我们慢慢的用方法，我们刚刚提到我们的心呢，已经有一些体验了，不过有一些体验之后呢，我们要怎么样子 照顾我们的心念啊、不受烦恼影响。所以不受烦恼影响是当我们在用功过程当中，我们会发现我们有妄念，有烦恼升起，有烦恼升起之后该怎么处理它啊。在日常生活当中呢啊，我们会给它一个名词叫做保任哈、哦，就是把我们的状态是保持在什么呢？我们之前有跟大家提到，所谓保任呢，是一个方法在讲呢，另外一面叫做保养圣胎，哦、保养圣胎啊，它像什么呢？就像母亲像妈妈在怀孕之后呢，要照顾肚子里面的小 baby 小朋友，哦，还要全心全力的去呵护他，哦，让小朋友能够在肚子里面安全的长大。那十个月之后呢，小朋友就会从妈妈的肚子里面平安的生出来，哦，啊，也就是说我们在日常生活当中，我们时时呢关照自己的身心。那当我们发觉自己失去正念的时候，那么提正念。所以正念是什么呢？用话头的呢，就是提话头，提话头，时时提话头啊。如果是用默照的人，用默照的人，就是在日常生活当中啊，面对于环境的时候，我们清楚知道事情的发生，可是心不受影响。所以心不受影响，就是不随着我们自己的喜爱或是我们讨厌去做分别判断，去做分别判断，就是不随着自己的情绪波动影响，这第一点。第二点呢，是与人在互动的时候，我们以慈悲心待人，以慈悲心待人，这时候我们处理事情呢，就能够条理分明，就能够条理分明。所以师父常常跟我们讲到，你家有事，他家有事，当大家有事的时候呢，我家没有事。那所谓没有事呢，并不是真的不是关心别人，而是所谓无事可做的人呢，就是必须要做什么呢？要去帮助其他尚未完成的人。那这个所谓的事呢，是什么意思呢？所以无事可做是我们的心不受外境影响。那当我们自己能够不受外事影响的时候呢，外境影响的时候呢，我们要去帮助别人，因为我们自己已经有一个这么好的方法了，而且我们也懂得修行了啊。或许有时候我们的内心还是会受到一些干扰，但是我们懂得提起正念，提起正念啊，也因此在我们虽然我们可能这时候能力还有限，可是我们这时候已经懂得开始跟人分享啊，抱持用慈悲心与人相处啊，也帮助其他人啊，把佛法分享给其他人，这时候是所谓保任的意思，是我们持续的修行，而且这时候持续修行呢，已经开始慢慢我们自己从出发心开始修行之后呢，也开始与人分享，与人分享。
The next picture, the fourth picture, is titled "Getting Hold of the Ox." So, what does it describe? Is that the practitioner already had some great experience, and finally.Finally getting hold of the self nature, just like the ox. But at the beginning, the ox is still unruly. Even you already get a hold of it, still tries to get away. So that tells us, even though the practitioner has good experience already seen the nature, it still has. A lot of work to do. He needs to learn how to sustain his practice after he sees his self nature, just like how to sustain a holy fetus, we say. When a woman gets pregnant, she needs to take care of the fetus or her baby in her womb before the baby is ready to come out to see the world. So the same way that a practitioner, even after he sees the self nature, he still needs to continue his practice diligently to be able to sustain such mind. And he needs to be mindful and constantly using the method in daily lives. If he uses Hua Tou method, and then he should pick up Hua Tou all the time in daily life. And if he is using a silent illumination method, and then he should be clearly aware of all things happening, but not affected by what happened, or following his own emotions and thoughts, or his own likes or dislikes. It's just like, and at the same time, since he already has some good experience, he can start it to share his learning with others and to interact with others with compassion. Just like Shifu said, you have things to take care of. He has things to take care of. Everyone has a lot of things to take care of, but I don't have. There's nothing I need to take care of. Nothing really affects me. I'm like a person with nothing to do, but I can help others to accomplish their tasks. Here, it's not that you don't really have things to do. It's that you're not affected by your own affairs. And then by doing that, you can have more capacity and abilities to help others to achieve their tasks. So at this stage, the practitioner is already be able to use the method continuously and at the same time share with others.
在这石牛图里面啊，图片它一张一张的，它并不是说是一个连续，就是一个步骤一个步骤的哈，它是分成几个阶段的。前面三张是一个阶段，也就是当我们一开始从听到方法开始学习，有一些体验，所以前面三张是一个过程。到第四章、第五、第六章，它又是一个阶段，一个阶段。所以第四章是怎么保任？除了讲保任呢以外，它还告诉我们，在一位修行者，他除了我们禅宗修行是修禅定、开智慧。之外呢，他对自己本身戒律的持守，他还是很严谨的。那我们刚刚在前面有提到，跟在老师身边学习嘛，跟在老师身边学习，除了学习禅修的方法之外，还有很重要一点，我们古代或是现在，好，或现在在。修行，在修行的过程当中，我们都会找一个比较安静的地方修行，这个是为了自己本身修行齁，就像我们有办禅期，禅时，乃至于更长到49天，这种为了自己本身专心的修行之外，那这种修行呢，它是尽量减少，让我们的心尽量减少跟外境接触的机会。就是我们一段时间认真修行，一段时间认真修行。那古代这些修行者也是一样，他们可能都选择在离城市住的地方有一段距离，就像我们香港道场， 它是在一个比较远的地方，一个比较安静的地方，能够让我们的心不受外境影响。那这样的修行过程当中呢，它减少人互动，所以可能会出现问题，就是他未来不知道该怎么样子跟人互动。那不过跟在老师身旁学习的一个好处是什么呢？因为我们找一位大善知识学习，有一些人他可能想要跟大善知识求法，跟大善知识求法，就像师父，很多人来跟师父求法。那我们跟在大善知识旁边学习呢，就像古代这些老和尚、这些大祖师大德们，他们可能一次收的弟子可能没有很多，或是能够长时间跟他修行的不多，所以这些弟子呢，他就跟在老师旁边，跟在老师旁边。那当有人来跟老师求法的时候，他就跟在老师的身边看。跟老师身边看呢，日常生活他就可以观察着、学习着老师的所有一切，用怎么样子正确的心态和方法过一位修行者应该过的生活，也就出家应该过的生活。因此他的身、语、意三业时时刻刻都跟佛法相应，因为他跟着老师学习，所以是学习着老师正确的生于一三业，修正自己过去不正确的观念或是不正确的行为，这是第一点。第二点是老师和这些来求法的信众、这些菩萨们的互动方式，怎么样子互动，怎么样子跟他们互动。来求法的人他可能会问一些他日常生活当中遇到问题，可能他工作上或者是他跟人相处上的问题。所以即使我们是在远离人群在山林当中修行，不过我们透过老师跟这些菩萨互动，我们在学习着了解众生有哪些问题，那未来当我们也能够独立到外面去弘化一方的时候，我们就透过过去虽然可能不是我们自己本身跟人互动或者是我们自己面到问题，但是呢我们懂得把过去我们跟在老师身旁所学习到的拿出来运用所以过去有些人会问师父，或者是很多人把自己家里面的问题拿来跟师父请教，师父说你这样问我不准，因为我没结婚，我也没小孩，你我家庭应该怎么样子跟自己的先生太太相处，或者是怎么跟小孩子相处所以说你们问我这问题应该不准，你们应该知道怎么处理不过师父还是会以佛法的观念来跟他们分享，那我们等一下会跟大家也会跟大家分享那该怎么样子正确用佛法的态度来处理我们日常生活当中的问题。
So when we talk about the ten ox herding pictures, it seems that we go from one picture to another in sequence, but inreal practice, it may not necessarily be so. But at least we can group, these pictures can be grouped into different stages. For example, from the first picture to the third picture is one stage, it's a process. And from the fourth picture to the sixth picture is the second stage. The fourth picture really talks about how to sustain yourpractice after you see your self nature. So when a practitioner is learning to apply the method and practice samadhi and wisdom at the same time, he also closely strict follows the precepts as well, and he studies with a teacher very closely. So both in ancient times and in modern times, a practitioner needs to find a quiet place to practice intensively. It's just like our Damodaran Mountain Retreat Center hosts intensive retreats throughout the year, usually for a long period. It could be 7 days, 10 days, even longer than 49 days. So those solitary retreats are very beneficial and helpful for practitioners to be away from a lot of noise and a lot of interaction with others. And then the retreat site usually is a bit away from the city, so give you certain quiet and space to practice. But even in the ancient time, it is also like this. The temple usually is a bit away from the urban place. But and a practitioner would study closely with a great master. But for a period of time, over the time, if you stay in such a place, you may not know how to go back and interact with others in the society. So there's great benefit of studying closely with a great master and observe how he lives his life according to Dhamma. There are two folds of benefits. The first one is once a practitioner had the chance to stay with a great master for a certain period of time and can observe how the master applies the method and the Buddha Dhamma and lead a life according to his practice, his beliefs, and his according to Dhamma at all the time. And the practitioner can observe what attitude and what actions the master takes. So the practitioner not only just learn from the words of the master, but also get the chance to observe how the master actually implements all these teachings in his own lives. And the practitioner can learn this way and be able to correct his own way of living a life. And the second fold is that when such practitioner stays with the great master for a long period of time, even in a remote retreat place, he also gets a chance to observe how the master responds to lay people's questions, how the master interacts with other people. For example, lay practitioners often come to masters with a lot of questions about their family lives, about how to interact with their wives or their children, how to have a good relationship with them. And just like our Shifu, sometimes his lay disciples will come to him and for help about his own family affairs, like wives and children. And Shifu will joke about saying, well, I may not be the right person to ask because I don't have a wife and children. But Shifu, of course, still will help these people by using Buddha Dhamma to help them. And I will share with you a story shortly. Just by doing that, a practitioner can observe and learn all these skillful means. So when he has an opportunity to promote Dhamma on his own, he knows how to interact with lay people in the society.
第五张图是木牛，也就是懂得怎么开始白头。我们刚得牛之后，牛它的野性，这是我们懂得怎么样子去调伏这头牛的野性。这时候这头牛呢，它才刚调伏，所以当我们牵着它要走的时候，它或许有时候会受到旁边可能因古代中国 是整个是以农业为主的，所以在走在农走在那个农田的小路上面呢，旁边种的就是我们可以吃的食物啊。在回家过程当中，可能会经过别人家的农田，所以这时候这只牛因为还没有完全的受到调伏啊，因此它可能看到路边有可以吃的，它可能就会想要去吃，它不会去分别什么是可以吃，什么是不可以吃的吼。那这时候我们呢，就必须要手上拿着牛鞭啊，除了拿着牛鞭以外，我们要牵着，用条绳子牵着它，就带着它往正确的方向走。偶尔可能当牛只就当牛它不听话的时候，我们会用牛鞭做警惕。所以牛鞭它代表的像是佛教里头的戒律，告诉我们哪些是应该做，哪些是不应该做的事情，提醒着我们。那牛绳子牵着牛往这边方向呢，是让我们的心能够保持专注专一的方向，也就是代表的是我们修行禅定的功夫，修行禅定的功夫就是我们的心不受外界影响啊。如果当心受外界影响的时候，我们懂得怎么保护自己，就是有牛鞭在身上，也就是有戒律。
So the fifth picture is about herding the ox. So continues from the previous picture, the ox herder already found the ox, but the ox is still unruly. The ox is not completely tamed yet. So when the ox wanders off, when the ox walks in the crop fields, sometimes he still has the urge to eat others' crops. Just like the practitioner, although he already seen his nature, but sometimes he still has the urges to wander off. And at this time, the ox herder will have two tools in his hands, and one is a whip, and the other one is he would have reins held in the other hand. So when the ox wandered off wanting to eat other people's crops, he could pull the ox back and remind him to stay on the right course. So here the whip represents symbolically the precepts that practitioner closely stick to, and the reins that the ox herder has also represents the power of samadhi that a practitioner develops, because relying on precepts and samadhi, a practitioner can remain unaffected by the outside environment. And if he notices that he's getting affected, he knows how to pull himself back to the right method and to return to his calm stage of mind.
第六章是骑牛归家。这时候呢，我们已经懂得善于调伏我们自己的心性哈，也是这头牛，我们都善于调伏它，所以这时候呢，我们很自在的，可能这个牧牛童他一整天带着牛只去外面，除了去到农田当中耕作，忙了一天，要回家了，要骑牛回家了，这时候呢，因为牛只已经懂得善于调伏。所以这条绳子本来要指引牛走正确方向，绳子还有当如果牛可能往旁边走了 啊，可能想去吃别人家的东西，或吃自己稻田中的农作物的时候，他可能要拿牛鞭去提醒这只牛，去警惕这只牛。这时候这些都不需要了，因为我们已经懂得，我们已经懂得跟外境能够和平相处。所以和平相处是我们的心念呢，不会受外境影响，清楚知道外境的存在，也不受它影响。那这就是我们在整个的修行过程当中，整个修行的过程当中，我们的心能够保持在一种清净、安定，就是有戒律保护。那我们的禅修功夫也能够用得好，保持在定的当中，所以是保持在一种清净和一种安定的状况，安定的状况底下。啊，这是我们讲说我们修行的过程当中，从持戒、修定到发智慧，也就是我们时时刻刻让自己保持是在一种清净安定，清净和安定，我们的生活也是一种清净安定的状况底下。啊，我们懂得在什么样的状况底下该说什么话，该做什么事。啊，这时候就是智慧的先前，就是我们的心是保持在一种清楚不受影响的状况。那就是我们所讲的心的清净是持戒，安定是我们有修禅定的力量发挥。这时候我们能够清楚与外境做互动，那这就是我们所讲智慧的开发。所以一位修行者他达到开悟的境界，我们可能都觉得开悟境界是一种很玄妙的一种状况。可是师父所讲的是，就是我们的心如果能够时时刻刻把它照顾好，是在一个清净安定的状况，这时候就是所谓智慧现前。这是一个在修行的过程当中很重要，怎么样子保任，还有就是自己的保任以外，就是我们自己本身照顾好，怎么照顾呢？有戒律的一个保护，我们胜于三业，这种在清净的状况，还有禅定发挥的力量出来是，当我们心跟外境接触的时候，怎么不受影响？懂得做到这些，就是所谓智慧的现前。
So the next picture, the sixth picture, is about riding the ox home. So at this stage, the ox herder can leisurely seated on top of a tamed ox because it's already very tamed and can just relax riding on it and going home. This represents a practitioner already knows, understands how to sustain his practice in daily lives from moment to moment, and also he can do this at very relaxed mindset already, because he has been developed the power of precepts and samadhi. At this stage, he has a purifying mind from moment to moment because of the power of precepts, and he has a very clear, calm, and settled mind because of the power of samadhi. So he won't be affected by the outside environment or by whatever arises, even though he's clearly aware of everything. And further, he can interact with others very wisely and to help others. So this is like the wisdom reveals itself or presents itself to the practitioner. So most people may think that getting enlightened is a mysterious thing, but for Shifu, it is not like that. Shifu emphasized enlightened person, can use wisdom to interact with others, to help others.
好，这是我们前几次跟大家讲的。那我们今天 从第七张图开始。第七张图是望牛纯人啊，颂文的部分，颂文的部分讲的是骑牛人已到家山，牛已空息人也闲，红日三竿犹作梦，边省空遁草堂间。好，我们刚才跟大家解释什么意思。
So that's what we talked about during the previous talks from picture 1 to picture 6. And today we will continue to next picture, the seventh picture. The ox is forgotten, but the ox herder is still present. And the verses go with the picture says, riding on the ox, he is at last back in his home. Where lo, there's no more the ox, and how serenely he sits all alone. Though the red sun is held up in the sky, he seems to be still quietly asleep. On the straw-hatched roof are his whip and rope, idly lying beside him.
好，我们到第七张图开始啊。前面是我们整个修行的过程，还有什么我们日常生活当中啊，开始认真修行啊，方法也能够掌握之后，从保任，那就是这些戒律和禅定的关系是什么，我们懂得怎么的让它在日常生活当中能够自在运用。那到第七章图开始呢，所讲的都是悟后的境界，所以悟后的境界是除了怎么样子在观念方法上建立起来之外，也怎么样子在跟其他人做正确互动。所以第七和第八张图，应该说这四张图它不是一种用独立一张一个一张一张，就是一个过程一个境界，它不是一个层次一层次上来的，它是一个整体的一个整体来看哈。所以我们先看第七张图，它要告诉我们什么样的讯息。我们第六张是很自在的带着牛回到家，那牛回到家，这头牛所指的就是我们调伏的我们自己的习气，自己的过去这些的妄想执着。那到了第七张图呢，我们回到家之后，因为我们的烦恼习性调伏了，所以我们在这张图当中可以看到，我们很自在的在可能工作一天回家已经是日落，所以我们很自在的坐在外头吹着晚风啊，看着夕阳落下，一片很好的景色，漂亮景色。因为我们妄想执着已经调伏，所以牛这时候在哪边呢？它在休息，看不到，所以我们在里头看不到牛。那是因为我们的妄想执着已经被我们调伏了。那妄想执着调伏住了，代表我们在面对一些状况或是境界的时候，就面对我们日常生活中的状况境界的时候，我们心中不会再受到烦恼执着影响。所以这时候呢，我们是已经达到心中无事可做的状况。那我们刚刚前面有跟大家提到所谓事是什么，就是我们会内心会受到烦恼的影响，这些就是所谓的事。这是我们自己的内心呢已经能够达到平衡安定啊，不起所谓的执着烦恼现前，不起所谓执着烦恼现前啊。所谓心中无事可做呢，在过去，禅宗有两位祖师大德他们的对话，有一天云门禅师就问百丈禅师，他说：“禅师你整天这样子是为谁而忙？”我们知道百丈禅师他是立下就是我们丛林清规，就是一位出家人他应该怎么样子过一整天的生活。就是除了戒律上规定的，那特别戒律是古代在印度的生活，可 可是来到中国之后，来到中国之后有适应这边的方法，就是适应这边的生活形态。百丈禅师他把一整天应该要有的作物，或者是我们在不同时段啊，或是不同地点应该怎么生活，他把它立下来。有人就是觉得这样子很忙啊，然后他说你这样子为谁而忙，就整天这样子做这些事情为谁而忙呢？百丈禅师就说，我自己已经无事可做，所以不是为自己忙。那我为了忙是忙什么呢？是为了众生，为了他人有需要我，而我才去忙，我才去忙。所以我们就是回到我们前面所讲的啊，我们无事可做，无事可做，可是我们还要做什么呢？发起慈悲心啊，帮助其他人。我们自己内心已经能够达到安定平衡的状况啊，这时候呢，外面的世界是看起来好像跟我没关系，可是这些外面的世界它所反映出来的现象呢，是因为众生，因为众生他自己本身内心所起的烦恼之所变现出来的，就是他们的互动所产生的这些现象。那我们要怎么样子呢？也要帮助其他人去减少纷争，减少纷争而忙。所以在六祖坛经里头啊，有提到，当我们在嗔爱不关心常生两脚卧，就像这位牧童人他回去之后的一种心境写照，也就是对于我们所嗔，就是我们不喜欢的，不去排斥对抗，就是不起嗔心，对我们不喜欢的东西不去排斥它，不去对抗它，不起嗔心。那爱呢，就是我们所喜欢的事情呢不去追求啊，也不去争取它。所谓争取呢，是并不是说我们这么争取，是用一种就是与人想要去争夺取得，一种争夺取得。那当我们要与人争夺取得的时候，那一定是会有所谓利害关系，会去伤害到其他人，会去伤害到其他人。所以这时候呢，我们的心呢是保持在一种稳定的状况，也就是我们不起嗔恨心对待其他人，就是一种对抗心。那么不用一种贪爱心，一种贪心去追求，这时候可能会去伤害到其他人的利害，的利害关系。那这时候我们的内心是保持在一种清净的状况，保持一种清净状况。啊，也就是在这张图我们看到，就是望牛存人。所以望牛是我们已经没有烦恼了，那这时候我们自己内心本身是处在一种自己内心的一种安静的状况。可是这种所谓安静状况呢，它还是要，实际上还是要能够与人互动，所以他还是要必须要升起慈悲心。那等一下我们会在第九张图来跟大家做比较详细的介绍。
第几张？对。So the seventh picture, the picture of the ox is forgotten, but the ox herder is still present. This picture tries to convey the stage that continues from the previous stage of practice. The practitioner already reached enlightenment. So from the second picture going onward, the pictures are addressing what happens after the stage after a practitioner reaches enlightenment. Just like we mentioned before, this set of pictures are not really shouldn't view each picture as independent stage. They can be actually grouped together. So the from the first picture to the sixth picture, it's more about the process of the practice to getting the practitioner into enlightenment. And from the seventh picture going onward, they are going to address the enlightenment stage, the practitioner stage after enlightenment, what they need to do. So in the sixth picture, we already mentioned that the practitioner is already be able to remove or get a handle or tame his own habitual tendency. So he's be able always stay on the method, always stay with his true mind effortlessly. And so is the seventh picture. What seventh picture described, that the practitioner is already at home and enjoy the beautiful sunset and with a relaxed mind, because at this time he doesn't really need to put in a lot of strength to apply the method. He's already very familiar with all the method, already innate to himself, and all the vexations and attachments are already tamed, removed, and he won't be affected by those things anymore. And just like we mentioned before, he really has nothing to do. And here, things refer to the things that will affect him. So when we say he doesn't have anything to do, doesn't mean literally he has nothing to do. It means his mind is no longer affected by these things anymore. So he won't give rise to attachments. And in the ancient time, Master Yunmen asked Master Baizhang, I don't know if you've heard of Master Baizhang, but he's quite known, a Chan master in Chan history, because he established the rules for Chan forest schools. When Buddhism introduced to China, it has to be adapted to the Chinese way of life. And Master Baizhang introduced a set of rules to help Sangha to live daily lives by actually going to work in the rice field themselves. So he and his Sangha actually was quite busy. So Master Yunmen asked Master Baizhang, you're so busy every day. What all is this for? And Master Baizhang responded, I already have nothing to do, but I'm busy for others. Because for others, for the benefit of others, there's still things I need to do. So the first, when he said, I have nothing to do, doesn't mean that he's lazy or he's doing nothing at all. On the contrary, he's very busy with all the affairs. But he just means that he's no longer affected or attached by anything that the phenomenon world. But at the same time, he also has great compassion that make him very busy for others as well. Because at this stage, the practitioner still needs to give rise to Bodhi mind to interact with his wisdom, to interact with others, to help others. Because outside the phenomenon arises due to sentient beings' own vexations and ignorance. So it's not like the outside environment. He doesn't care about the outside phenomenon anymore. He still cares because he wants to interact and help others. And also in the Sixth Platform Sutra, there's a line from Sixth Platform Sutra says, I no longer care about likes and dislikes, and I just relaxly stretch out my legs. So here, in the same way, here it says, I don't care about likes and dislikes anymore. It means the practitioner is no longer affected by things that he used to be averse to. For things he dislike, he wouldn't push away anymore. And for things he likes, he wouldn't go out to pursue such things or compete with others or fight for such things. His mind is always at a very settled and calm stage, and he won't generate any thought of harming others anymore. His mind is always purified. So just like the title of the seventh picture said, that the ox is forgotten. Here, it symbolically means he no longer has any vexations. His mind is perfectly clear, stable, but at the same time, he's still able to interact with the outside world.
好，第八张图是人牛俱旺。宋文讲的是边锁人牛俱属空，蔽天辽阔性难通，鸿儒燕善真容雪，到此方能何足重。这张图就画一个圆，什么都没有，我们还要讲什么呢？
And the eighth picture is the herd and ox. The ox herd and the ox are both forgotten. And the verses go with the picture says, all is empty, the whip, the rope, the man and the ox. Who has ever surveyed the vastness of heaven, of the furnace burning ablaze? Not a flake of snow can fall. When this stage of things obtains, manifest is the spirit of the ancient master. So this picture, if you look at it, it has nothing, just a circle. So since it has nothing, what are we going to talk about?
第七章讲的是我们修行的过程当中进到一个所谓大我，也就是我们会等会讲进到一种太虚空的感觉。那第六章是打破这种大我，就是主客双忘，主客双忘。第九张图我们等会讲怎么样子能够打破这个太虚空，就把这大我都打破。那第八章它其实所要传达的意思是说，一位修行者他修行到这种已经主客双忘的一种过程的一种层次呢的一种程度呢，它就像我们禅宗所讲的，不立文字，言语道断，心行触灭。虽然禅宗主张不立文字，言语道断，不过禅宗在历史上，就是我们在佛教的历史上呢，却是留下所有典籍最多的，也就是祖师大德所留下的语录最多的。祖师大德会留下这么多语录的原因是什么呢？是因为之后修行的人他很好奇，想要知道开悟到底是怎么样的一个境界。可是自己本身在修行过程当中呢，可能会有一个问题，就是他只是赶快想要知道是什么境界，也想要让自己赶快进入那个境界。可是在修行的过程当中，他或许不是付出很多的时间去修行，所以禅宗在有一段时间上呢，大家落入所谓的口头禅。口头禅是什么意思呢？也就是大家变成是一种在追求学问的感觉，就是比谁懂得多，只是一种学问上、思想上的，在思辨上，它是用一种用辩论的方式去要把佛法给讲清楚，给讲清楚。那这种以我们现在所讲的方式呢，就是学问深，也就是它是这种做学问的一种理论上的追求，理论上追求，而不是在自己实际上修行层面上去愿意花功夫去落实，去落实。所以它只是一种在文字上的计较去思辨，而不是一种我们用心直接去体验方法，用心直接去体验方法。语言文字它重不重要？它还是重要的。不过它只是一种方便， 你这种指引着我们的方向，可是最重要的是我们愿不愿意花时间去死心塌地的用功夫去如实的修行啊，这才是语言文字背后它真正的意义的存在。所以祖师大德们虽然讲说不立文字，可是却又讲了最多，讲了最多，把用文字记录下来，或者是苦口婆心告诉我们，他的用意无非是要我们如实的修行，如实的修行，而不是只是落在语言文字像上面，落在语言文字像上的一种知识的追求，或者是用口头上要去辩论，把佛法给辩清楚。并不是说这些不重要，重要是当我们清楚了之后，就是正知见的建立之后，我们要花时间，还要花时间去如实的修行。所以这是第八张图他告诉我们所要传达的意思。
So the eighth picture is both ox herder and ox forgotten. The previous picture, the seventh picture, there's still big. If we say the seventh picture, there still exists a big self. Now we move to the eighth picture. The practitioner really reached the stage of non-duality. Both subject and object are no longer exist. So for here, when you reach this stage, words really can no longer convey the meanings. The words cannot really convey describe the stage that you're at. And your mind cannot be described anymore. The stage of your mind cannot be described by words anymore. Nevertheless, Chan masters in history, although they say that, you know, it's impossible to describe their stage of mind, what they experience by words anymore, they still left a lot of teachings and the records in words. And why is that? Is that because they use words to caution us about a pitfall that a practitioner easily fall into. That is that many practitioners stopped at the level of just try to describe or think intellectually the enlightenment stage, and even so to debate on such enlightenment stage like a scholar, but not really a true practitioner. They're very curious about the practitioner's practitioner's level at this stage. They're very curious, and so they want to know, and they want to use words to think, to debate, to study like a scholar, but not like a true practitioner who emphasizes more on realization of this stage. They are not willing to put into a lot of efforts to reach this stage. Instead, they just focus on the koan or the quick wit that reflected in Chan Master's records. So for this reason, Chan Master actually have written a lot about this pitfall and want to caution people not fall into that stage.
好，第九章是返还本源啊。颂文讲的是返本还原以废功。真如直下若盲聋，暗中不见安前物，水至茫茫花自红。啊。
So the ninth picture is reverting is reverting to the origin and returning to the source. And the verses go with this picture says, to return to the origin, to be back at the source, already a fourth step this. Far better it is to stay home, blind and deaf, straightway, and without much ado. Sitting within the hut, he takes no cognizance of things outside. Behold the water flowing on, whither nobody knows, and those flowers red and fresh, for whom are they?
在这张图里面呢，人和牛也都没有看到，看到的只是一片非常漂亮的大自然景色。
And in this picture, you also will see that there's no ox or ox herder in the picture. What you can see is a beautiful scene of the nature.
这时候看到的呢，是一切妄相森罗，它都在放光说法。
So here you will see that all things, all phenomena are actually shining and preaching Dhamma.
这边跟大家讲一个过去祖师大德的故事哈，在明朝，在明朝的时候，憨善大师，他在31岁的时候，他在有一次修行，有一天他吃完饭，他在惊醒，我们讲说饭食惊醒，在经典当中经常告诉我们，像佛陀。要《金刚经》说法之前，还是先去，也是我们可以看到，一开始是他去外面托钵回来，吃完饭，把钵洗好，他先惊醒一阵子之后，才坐下来开始说法。另外，我们看到在《弥陀经》也告诉我们，他们这些在净土寺院，他会到。外面去一样也是类似托钵那饭食惊醒那接着就回来听阿弥陀说法齁那这一天憨善大师他吃完饭之后他一样惊醒一段时间之后他停下来不动呢他进到一种身心是进到一种大光明藏的一种状态里头在那边站立一下子之后呢他才从里头出来那他从这个境界出来之后呢他说了一个偈子他说什么呢撇然一念狂心歇内外根尘俱动彻翻身触破太虚空妄相森罗从起灭这什么意思呢他说忽然之间在一念之间撇然一念之间就是忽然之间呢他所有的狂心都停止下来那内外根尘就是他的这五根这六根对外面六尘他都很明白清楚知道是怎么一个运作都很明白一个清楚的运作这是第一这个偈子的前两句是一对的第二对是翻身触破太虚空是他在这一个很清净自己一种很清净的状况里头他忽然之间了解所有的这万物的一切现象呢并不是自己本身处在这种太虚空境界而是要如果要与人能够互动的话他从里头看到一切现象的缘起缘灭所以他打破自己这种大我看到一切万物就是这种大自然的一些现象或是与人的互动都是因缘生因缘灭的一种现象
So, and for the nice picture, We don't see ox herder and ox either, and just all the phenomena are preaching Dharma and shining light. I want to share with you a story about Master Hanshen. Master Hanshen lived during Ming Dynasty. So when Master Hanshen was around 30 years old, one day he finished eating and got up and did a walking meditation. We will see in many sutras or Buddhist classics that that people like practitioners like to do walking meditation after meals, just like the Dhamma, the Diamond Sutra, and the Buddha also got up and had a walking meditation after meals, and so is the Amitabha Sutra. After all the practitioners went on the elms round, they took a walk. So here, the same thing. When Master Hanshen was doing the walking meditation, suddenly his body and mind went into a great light, a stage of a great light for a certain period of time. And when he came out from that stage, he wrote a few lines to explain what he just experienced. And he said, just within a second, within a moment, all mind, all thoughts, all wandering minds are disappeared. And there was two levels. First, he's still clearly, but at the same time, he's still clearly aware how his six sense organs functions and how his six sense organs interacts with outside phenomenon. He's clearly aware of this, the functioning. And second, he dropped the big self and very clearly aware of conditional arising of all phenomena. And that's what he calls the emptiness of universe.
好，那这个句子里面呢，有一些东西我们要清楚哈、哦。什么呢？第一句要讲，我们一句一句开始解释哈、哦。撇当一念狂心歇，那我们要怎么样子让狂心能够停得下来？所以我们要先知道什么是狂心。当我们知道什么是狂心，它才能够停止。那狂心呢，在楞严经里头。把它解释为叫做迷头认影，迷头认影。在楞严经里面呢，有一个故事。有一天有一位修行者叫眼若达多，他一天早上一觉睡起来，发现自己的头不见了，他就很着急的想要找自己的头，于是他就很疯狂的开始跑去外面，遇到每个人就问他说：“我的头在哪边？”我的头在哪边？赶快告诉我的头不见了！他很着急，就是赶快四处去问人。那这时候该怎么办？其实他只要拍拍自己的头，就发现他存在，问题就解决了嘛。可是他背后意思是说什么呢？这个人呢，他这时候当下所谓狂心，就是痴心，就是一个疯狂的心，这种愚痴的心，因被愚痴所掩蔽住，所以他像发狂一样，心像发狂一样的一种状况。那所谓痴心呢，是有两种意思哈。第一种是不知道自己当下在想什么，在说什么，在做什么，是自己当下他不清楚自己的状况，所以他说了什么，做了什么，或想了什么，他不清楚，所以他就去把它做了。这是第一种。第二种是他知道应该要说什么，应该要做什么，或是应该要动怎样的念头才正确的，可是他不愿意而去做了违背的事情，而做违背的事情。好，也就是说他的心呢，第一个是他是一种昏昧状况，不清楚在做什么。第二种呢，是没有具备正知见，而是具备邪见，所以他当下做的事情是跟十恶相 可能跟十二是相应的，跟十二相应的。啊，这是一种。还有一种就是我们在修行的过程当中是错误的知见，也是我们的修行的目的是因为我们知道佛经当中告诉我们人生很苦，我们知道我们自己的生活很苦，所以我们这时候修行解脱是为什么？为了来生能够生活在更好的家庭啊，有更好的生活享受，不让自己这么痛苦。一种是物质上的，一种可能是精神上的，想要解脱。解脱去哪？升到天去享乐，升到天去享乐，因为人生很苦，所以他来生不想要在这个人世间。一种是来生想要来到人世间，可是他想要在物质上的追求，就是解脱这种物质肉体上的。一种是在精神上的，他可能觉得精神上受折磨很辛苦啊，能够从苦的解脱，最好的方法是到天去享乐，因为听到天人有很可以无时刻的享乐，是这种一种错误的自见和邪见。这时候怎么让它歇呢？我们讲到撇然一念狂心歇，叫一念之间，如果我们能够提起佛法的正知见，能够提起佛法正知见，把心安住在方法当下，把心安住在方法当下用功啊，不去想太多，我们不去管过去已经发生的，也不去管我们未来就是修行的所得到结果是什么，也不去管这些，我们只是注意在当下我们这个用功方法上面，用功方法上面啊，这时候我们的狂心当下就停止住。
So we'll go over Master Hanshen's stanzas line by line. The first stanza says, within a moment, within a thought, all minds of craziness and ignorance are stopped, disappeared. So what does the crazy mind or the ignorance mind refer to? So here, in the Sharagama Sutra, Buddha talked about a story that one day one person wakes up and finds in the mirror that he doesn't have a head, and he went crazy and anxiously looking for his head. So what should he do? Actually, it's quite simple. If he could at that time just touch his head, and then he will know that his head actually still exists on his shoulder, so he wouldn't go crazy. So here, what mentioned in the stanza, the craziness is the crazy mindset, and here the other layer of the craziness is ignorance. One type of ignorance is that people are unaware of the situation, so unaware of what he's doing. And the second situation is that he's aware, but he's just not willing to do the right things. So that would correspond to the 10 evil deeds, the 10 evil karma that people accumulate. Also it will correspond to wrong views. People will have wrong views about practice. For example, some people practice just want to pursue material wealth or want to enjoy a spiritual life after this life. That's why they practice and want to get rid of the sufferings. So in Master Hanshen's stanza, within one thought that all the craziness of the mind and ignorance mind stopped and disappeared. It means at this moment, if you're able to pick up the right view and stable your mind, stick your mind to the method at that moment, then all this craziness and ignorance of the mind can be stopped at that moment.
第二句讲的内外根尘具动彻，那讲说我们的内六根对外六尘。普遍上我们刚刚前面有提到，我们都是在 追求和排斥，就是喜欢的和不喜欢在分别，是一种对抗的状况，对抗状况。那一种是追求享乐，一种是无时无刻跟人是处于一种对抗敌对的状况。那我们平常啊，普遍都是在追求这些，所以心很忙。那就提前面提到我们的狂心的原因是这样来的。那当我们一念崛起的时候，啊，狂心歇了之后，我们会很清楚的明了知道，很清楚明了知道什么呢？第一个是我们这时候是处在一种太虚空境界，就是一种空定的一种状况，一种空定状况。那当我们自己发现处在这种空定状况的时候呢，空定这种空定状况的时候呢，就是我们提到翻身触破太虚空，要怎么样子能够翻身呢？我们要放下对这种好的境界的执着，也要放下对好的境界执着啊。所以修行它不是只是为了我们个人，就是翻身触破太虚空，就放下我们自己本身对这种好境界追求，好境界追求。那我们除了发现自己本身修行的利益之外，那我们也会在这种安定的状况里头，安定状况里头呢，我们就会发现其实众生还在生死当中流转。那会在生死当中流转的原因是业力的原因，业力的牵引。那业力呢，它也有分成我们自己本身的别业和众生共同的共业。那或许这个共业跟我们没有关系，所以没有关系是我们现在处的这个整个地球这个整个大环境啊，我们知道我们现在的整个环境被破坏啊，或许我们自己本身我们可以做得很好啊，减少污染，甚至我们可以保护这个环境。可是即使我们做再好，但是我们面对的这个环境，它是这个地球环境，它可能是越来越糟糕的一种现象。所以这就是所谓的共业，好啊，它是一个整个大环境的一个整个大环境的。所以我们自己本身呢，我们从这个太虚空的一种状况，就是除我们自己一种很好很好这种境界呢，我们要出来就打破这个大我。打破这个大我呢，是回到现实环境当中，回到现实环境当中，我们很清楚的知道一切都是缘生缘灭的。那这些缘生缘灭呢，是众生的业力共同造成的，除我们自己本身的别业之外，还有这个大环境的共同的业力，就共业一共同所造成的。那我们从这个共同的这个大环境里头，我们该怎么办？我们该怎么办呢？我们刚刚前面有提到，当众生什么需要的时候，我们给众生适合他的需要做回应，需要做回应，也就是一个无事可做人，是为了他人而忙，一个无事可忙的人，他是为了其他人而忙，就是配合着众生当下需求，我们给他适当的回馈，给他适当的回应。所以要打破这个太虚空，还一点很重要，就是我们要发起慈悲心。那所谓慈悲心呢，就是发起四弘四愿的心，去帮助一切众生，去帮助一切众生。所以发起慈悲心，也就是我们要发起四弘四愿心，是很重要的。还就是翻身触破太虚空，一个很重要的一个关键点，从自我本身的这种大我啊，回到现实的环境当中，跟众生互动。那很重要一点就是我们的关键点，就是要发起愿心，要度众生。那度众生的方式呢，是我们了解这个环境，也就是我们现在所处的是一个世间环境，一切都是缘起缘灭的。 那这个缘起缘灭当中是目前大家所处的环境是我们业力所共同造成的，那它有分共业和别业在里头。
So the next scan, the next line of Master Hanshen talks about how the six sense organs functions, touches the outside dusts, six outside dusts. And this, he was clearly aware of how all these things function on its own. Just like we mentioned, for ordinary people, people tend to turn into sensory gratifications as enjoyment, as happiness. And only when you can put your crazy mind or your ignorance mind to rest, then you will be able to clearly see and be aware of how your sense organs goes out to interact with outside the world. And when you reach the stage of the big self or the emptiness of the universe, you feel as the whole universe is just one entity united with you, you still need to continue to let go of that big self, because not only do you need to not attach to the outside world, but you also should not attach to a good experience like that. You should keep letting go that good stage, because you need to come out from that very comfortable big self stage, because other sentient beings are still experiencing suffering outside, and it's not just your personal karma, but it's what we say common karma, that the karma created by all sentient beings. For example, like our environment, our environment right now, there's a lot of pollutions. Although maybe you can do your own part very well, but we still live in the same world, live on this earth, and we should understand that the big living conditions, the living environment, is created by all sentient beings' karma. And so what should we do? We should give rise to compassion mind and generate four great vows. And from letting go the big self and understand the conditions, causes and conditions of arising and the perishing of the outside world, and give rise to great vows to help to contribute.
好，所以第十张图我们讲哈，它的颂文讲的是陆兄先祖入莲来，魔土土灰笑满腮，不用神仙真秘诀，直叫枯木放花开，也就是我们最后所讲的发起四弘誓愿心啊，给予众生需要什么我们就给他什么的反应，就是当下是随着时间和随着人，就是给他最适合，在当下给他最适合众生的需要，我们而有所回应。
So the last picture, the tenth picture, is entering the marketplace with open hands. And the verses go with the picture, say, bare-chested and barefooted, he comes out into the marketplace, dabbed with mud and ashes. How broadly he smiles. There's no need for the miraculous power of the gods, for he touches, and lo, the dead trees come into full blossom. So here, it talks about how a practitioner a great enlightenment achieved, and then he will be able to react to sentient beings based on their needs, and give rise to four great vows.
所以图片当中我们看到是一位修行者，他提了大布袋，啊，当有人来跟他请法或是有什么需要之后，他可以从布袋当中 取出适合众生需要的东西啊，来帮助其他人啊，这就是我们最后石牛图要告诉大家，除我们自己本身修行之外，我们自己用方法修行之外，怎么样子把我们从在方法当中所体验到的好处，好处就是怎么样子减少我们的起心动念。所以起心动念就是对于外境，对外境现前的时候，我们的心不是去分别，所以分别是什么是喜欢的，我去追求去争取它，什么是我不喜欢的，就跟它对抗抗拒排斥它、啊，让我们的心念如果能够保持清楚，保持清楚，那就不是痴心的状况，所以不是用贪和嗔去面对人和事啊，我们如果能够保持清楚，那就不是痴心，也就不是我们刚刚所讲的狂心。那除了自己能够做到之外，我们也把我们在禅修当中所体验到的好处的利益也能够跟其他人分享啊，或许我们现在能够做的有限，不过我们可以试着，我们可以试着，当我们在修行过程当中，我们如果体会到有所体验的时候，其实我们慢慢的心就能够安定下来啊，这时候给人的感觉，给人感觉啊，可能过去我们是一种比较浮躁的，可是现在我们如果能够带给人，即使不需要用言语来说的时候，我们人一站在这边，如果能够让人是在一种安定的状况，心能够安下来，那其实我们是在说法，我们在说法，啊，这是一种用我们的身体语言，也可以在说法，啊，即使不出声，那我们讲的所谓妄相生罗，都在放光说法的意思，那指的就是我们即使不透过语言，也能够让人带来安定，那这就是我们在修行的过程当中，我们自身安定之外，也带给其他人是一种清净安定的状况。
So in the last picture you will see there's a practitioner showing up with a big bag carrying, he's carrying a big bag entering to the marketplace and justgive whatever other people ask him to give. This symbolically means that the great practitioner reached the final stage and he can, you know, interact with people and react to others based on their needs. So for us, how maybe we couldn't reach a very advanced stage, but at least we can be very mindful ofour own thoughts arriving, coming and arising and perishing, and try not to discriminate thoughts and not to just blindly follow your own likes and to pursue what you like and to give rise to aversion to things that you dislike. And try to maintain a clear mind all the time.So you will be able to put the crazy minds into the rest. And when you are able to have some good experience and truly taste the benefits of practice, then maybe you will be able to go out and share with others the benefits of meditation, benefits of Chan practice.And sometimes you don't even need to say anything. You just exude the clarity or the calmness, and your actions will speak for itself. And your action is actually also spreading Dharma, preaching Dharma to others. Just like the Chan saying, all phenomena, all things can be a preaching Dharma.
以上是我们的石牛图，我们分三次跟大家介绍完，希望大家在这三次当中有所收获。 啊，有收获是大家的三根部的恩怨。那如果没有的话，是我讲的不好。好，阿弥陀佛。来，最后也谢谢我们这三次帮忙翻译的四明菩萨。
So that concludes the series, three series talk on the 10 ox herding pictures, and I sincerely hope everyone feel gain certain benefits from this talk. And if you do, you should thank your own good roots and good merits. If you don't feel gain any benefit from my talk, that's because I didn't do a good job.